disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Got a fireball in my mouth this morning. I don't know why, I just felt like I'd put one in. I want you to know that still got my quarter. I ain't any richer. In fact, I'm poorer than I was yesterday. So the idea that somebody was going to corner the silver market and we were all going to get rich, it didn't happen yesterday anyway. Silver, I just checked, gave back all of its gains from yesterday. But it's still, I still think something good's going to happen with that old thing. No matter what, quarters still buy a gallon of gas. A real one will. Thanks for joining us here this morning. It's Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. Took me long. What's that old saying on Groundhog Day? That if he sees his shadow, he goes back in and there's six more weeks of winter. And if he doesn't see his shadow, spring's just around the corner. That's kind of that sounds like a government policy, doesn't it? Well, actually, February 2nd is Groundhog Day because this is the midpoint of winter. Winter begins December 21st and it ends March 21st. And 6 weeks from the beginning, from December 21st, is today, February 2nd, Groundhog Day. We got a lot of snow out here. Weather's dipping a little bit. I hear people complaining that it's cold down in Georgia. It's cold in South Carolina. Hey, it's kind of winter here. It's kind of the way it is. So I hope those people down in Florida, I hope they're freezing their thumbnails off for get a little bit of dose of what we go through up here. Crazy stuff still going on. I want to start with something. My wife, God, I love my wife. Pull up if you can for me there. Let me see where I put it up. I think I sent it to you, Spencer. As soon as I go saying that, then it's not going to be there. It's near, clear down at the bottom, Jeremiah 5. Hey, Silver, I want you to get your pipes ready. I want you to read this for us this morning. Because I was sitting around listening to something last night, and we had snow and ice. We had snow, thaw, rain, freezing rain, snow. Anybody have any idea what that did to the driveway at Sky High? Anybody have any idea what that's like? And, of course, there's some people standing up there. I drove around the corner, and I looked, and there were three cars stuck on the driveway going up Sky High. Most of you don't know anything. Steve Deck, some of you guys, you know what that looks like. Oh, my God. So I spent most of my evening yesterday pulling people. I felt like a tow truck driver trying to get people. One of them I had the hardest time with was, are you ready for this? Pizza delivery girl. Pizza delivery? What are you trying to take a pizza up there? What are you doing? You'd have been better off to drop it out of a helicopter than to try to drive up that hill. So that's what I spent most of my evening doing. But when I come home, sitting by the fire, my don't you love these fake fires? The you know what I'm talking about? We have a ventless gas we put in our new house. You get up in the morning, you hit a switch, and the fire lights up, and you just sit there or something. You don't have to mess with the ashes and the firewood and the smell. And so Michelle and I were just kind of sitting around the firewood last night. And she said, did you read Jeremiah 5? Like I'd be reading Jeremiah 5, right? And so, no, I didn't read Jeremiah 5. And she says, you better read it. Sounds just like what's going on today. So I gave up my pride and pulled up, read Jeremiah 5. Said, oh, my goodness. I can just hear Silver's voice echoing this thing out. So, Silver, we're going to start with you, brother. Jeremiah 5, the weeping prophet. Don't ever forget this. Jeremiah, as far as we can tell, never had one recruit. Never had one salvation. Never won anybody to the truth. The weeping prophet, Jeremiah. But, boy, it's like he's got a microscope or a telescope, whatever. When he's back, whenever he wrote this thing, he's got a telescope on the United States of America today. So, Silver tones, get those things going here for our brothers. Let's let just follow along, folks. Just let the depth of this chapter just sink in. Go ahead, Joe.
Good morning, everyone. Jeremiah 5. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it.
That'd be a good place to stop right there, wouldn't it, Joe?
Yes. Huh?
We could go all day just on that first verse, right? It's America.
Correct.
It's America today. Go ahead, brother.
And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, and they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God.
You can say amen anytime you want to, folks. You don't have to, but you just thumbs up. This is 2021 America. Keep going, Joe.
I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces.
Wear your masks and stay in your house.
Because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses.
Wow.
They are as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife.
Wow.
Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord.
Boy, his own people have dealt treacherously against him.
They have bellied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire.
Amen.
And this people would, and it shall devour them.
Wow.
Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say.
Can you say China?
Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men.
Mm.
And they shall eat up thine harvest and thine bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. And they shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. And they shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees, and they shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword.
Amazing. Washington, D.C. has become a fenced city. Have you guys noticed that? Capitol building, White House, a fenced city. And they're going to eat up the harvest, which our sons and daughters should have eaten. Keep going, Joe.
Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you.
Wow, he's not going to get rid of us. Thank you, Lord.
And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and thou servest strange gods in your land. So ye shall serve strangers in a land that is not yours.
My goodness, Lord, help us.
Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not.
Is that anybody you know out there? You guys know any of those people? I know a few of them.
Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it?
Wow.
But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. Mm. They are revolted and gone.
Good news today. Good news. This is your good news Bible, folks.
Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth us unto the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you.
Amen.
For among my people are found wicked men.
Where are they found, Joe? Where are they found?
Among my people.
Ah.
They lay wait as he that sitteth snares. They set a trap.
They catch men. They catch men. What a thought that is, huh? Wow.
As a cage is full of birds, so are the houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless.
Oh, my goodness.
They prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge.
Read that again, Joe. Read that verse again, boy. That's a bullseye.
Golly. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge.
They couldn't care less about those poor little babies being killed in those abortion clinics. They're fat and they're prospering. Yeah, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. Go ahead, Joe.
Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord?
Yeah, I think he probably should.
Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
Yes, sir, I think you should, Lord.
A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land.
Here it is.
The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?
Woo-wee.
Amen.
Boy, that'll encourage you this morning. That'll get you up on your feet and cheering. Oh, my goodness.
Coach?
Yeah.
You know, as having lived for a couple of decades plus now, trying to learn to ask for God's will and then trust what happens is under his control and will somehow. And I see what's happening in our nation now and everything. It's not comfortable, and I don't like it. But it's fairly easy for me at this point, after a couple of decades of trying to live that way, to accept the fact that if God is punishing the United States and delivering the justice that the United States deserves, just as he did with his children Israel for a few times, then that's the way it is. And Amen. And also the efforts that I can make to maybe make things better may not end up making things better, but they will, in my mind and in my heart, they will make the remnant more effective when the remnant is reinstated.
Well, you know, Larry said, set up there near the beginning, Joe read. Joe, I love your voice, man. You just,
thanks, sir.
You bring an authority to it when you read it. It's not the end of us. It's what it says. It's not to the end. And so those of us who, you know, I kind of laughed about the whole, got the silver thing. You laughed about this. It's going to be wheelbarrows, right? It's going to be no good at all. Stuff's no good at all. And yet every day, those of us who know better, we sell everything we have to try to accumulate this kind of stuff as if we can keep it and focus our whole life about the accumulation of stuff. And the church likes to talk about how important the souls are. And, you know, it's all about preaching the gospel and getting people saved. They don't even do that, right? They don't even do that. So come on in. I'll shut up here, man. Come on in, Myra, and then Joe Allen. Come on in, Myra.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Coach, thank you for your newsletter, the Past and Salt newsletter. I really enjoy reading it. Thank you so much for your effort and hard work.
Thank you, dear. Just doing my job. Just doing my job. If you guys aren't, if you're not on our email list and we're not getting our monthly newsletter, Michelle and I always want to credit Mark Harrington. This ministry that you're a part of right here, right now, is up and running because I started a monthly newsletter about 16, 17 years ago. Mark Harrington showed me how to do it. Just build a mailing list and sent my monthly newsletter out, telling people what we were doing, asking for support, and here we are. We live off of the donations, $25-$50 a month from people. It's amazing. I praise the Lord every day for that. So thank you. Thank you, Myra, for saying that. Joe, come on in.
Coach, I was going to say that one of the things that really gets missed and by me and everybody, okay, is the Great Commission. We're under such a time constraint right now, the sin of this nation, and we're trying to save the nation. Let's not lose sight of the big job, win people to Christ and have them repent. That's not, I mean, they don't do that. They just make it seem all nicey-nicey.
Yeah, emotional, right?
You can't do that.
There's no turn. There's no turning, right?
That's why I think the focus needs to be myself. But that's, I mean,
so Joe, here's my response to that. People say to me, Coach, just preach the gospel. You know, we all have different calls. I preach the gospel. I believe the gospel is truth. I preach the truth. I preach the salvation message. But that's really not my call. I mean, I do. But it's not my call. My call is to publicly proclaim truth, push back publicly. That's pretty much what we do. Not that I don't care about salvation of souls, but if all the other people in the church got out and tried to share the gospel and get souls saved, we wouldn't be nearly in the mess we're in. Most people you know have never, listen, I'm just being honest with you, okay? Most people that you'll run into have never led another person to Jesus. Now, maybe their children, maybe they led their children, but the average person, if I were to pin you down, I'm going to give you $1,000 for everyone you led to Christ. Most of you wouldn't get much money. Most of you. So that's exactly what, you know, that's what Joe said. And, you know, I think, hang on, I see you there, Joe Allen and Jeff and Mark. I'll let you in here in a second. See, we don't even know what the gospel is anymore. We read Jeremiah. Boy, he's a downer. No wonder he never won anybody to the Lord, right? What a downer, going around preaching that message all the time. It's no wonder. But see, we can't go around and preach the name it, claim it. Your life's going to be great when you come to Jesus' message either, because that's not the true gospel. That's not what Jesus and John the Baptist, first sermon they ever preached says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We don't even know what the kingdom of God is. How do you build the kingdom of God? How do we advance the kingdom of God? 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, he might annihilate the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? And how did Jesus annihilate them? And when Jesus annihilated the works of the devil and he empowered us to be able to do the same thing, he says, I'm going to leave and greater things than me. You guys are going to do greater stuff than me. And we don't even know what that means anymore. How could you ever do anything greater than what Jesus Christ himself did? But he said we would. But we've lost a whole, that's what, That's why Jeremiah hit me so hard, because it is all really, it's so easy, isn't it? It's just repentance. Just turn from your wicked ways and do the right thing and honor the Lord. The condition of this country would be unbelievable if we just simply did that. We don't know how to do it. We don't know what, don't even know what it means. Joseph Allen, come on in. Then Jeff, come on in. Go ahead, Joseph.
Coach, I want you to do me a favor.
I'll try.
I want you to give Michelle a big hug.
She gave
me my head of the household prayer that I'm going to speak or talk about this Sunday.
You say she just gave it to you?
She just gave it to me.
Isn't that powerful? That is unbelievably powerful, man. Nothing new under the sun, they tell us. Nothing new. Come on, Jeffy. Come on in.
Coach, I got to share this story. You mentioned that about 16 years ago, you started that newsletter. So I got to share with everybody. 16 years ago, when I was in that other church, I was standing around and everybody would come to me. It's like, what's Coach doing? What's Coach Dave doing? And I'd make copies of your newsletter. And then one day I'm standing there, had about six or eight people around me in the church up front. And here come the pastor. Wanted to see what I was doing with that little huddle of people up there. He walked up and I handed him one of your newsletters. Stuck his head in the circle and said, what's going on here? I handed him one of them newsletters, and buddy, he knew what it was. He stuffed that in his inner pocket on his coat and stormed off out of there because he couldn't say nothing. He could not say anything in front of the people. But I still do that. Make copies of your newsletter and hand them out. So that's something people can do, that people like to read them.
Amen. They do. And you know what? I was having that discussion with my wife. I was having that discussion with the other day about when. Please take this in the right vein that I give it. When I was football coach down Fairfield Christian Academy, and I ended up getting fired down there. I'm not ashamed to say that I got fired down there because of the unholy leadership. I said to Michelle, I said, you know what a sad. It just shows you the condition of the church. That because I didn't follow their plan, they robbed from those kids the opportunity to be under my mentorship. And I said, you can say what you want to say about me, but all you can say is too Christian, right? Too Christian, too radical. That's really the only thing you can say about me. Too opinionated, too Christian, too radical, too loudmouth, too bold, right? And it's sad that in America that's really the standard. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a mealy mouse, weak-kneed, bend over and let everybody have it kind of guy. And I think that's what we fight most, I think, in this battle for truth and justice and the American way. Come on in, Mark Trump.
I wanted to mention about gold and silver.
Uh-huh.
All right, if there is a faction controlling us, if there is, some people believe there is. I don't know. You're right.
Yep, sure there is.
Don't they know about gold and silver? Don't they know we're trying to accumulate gold and silver?
Sure they do.
Don't they know that's our move? Don't they know that's our move? So why would they enable gold and silver to be barterable? In other words, that's going to be an area they pinpoint in on with laser scopes to determine we're not doing it. So now you got an underground currency that they're not going to want because it gives you value. Mm-hmm. And they can't control you. So what makes you think that you can use this money if you save it up and not use that system? It'll have to be an underground system.
Barterable. Yep.
So if that's true, are we prepared to be infiltrated and all of that taken away? The minute you start trading it, they'll know you have it.
Yeah.
So the first ones who use it are going to be the targeted ones, and the person you traded it with, they're going to know. Move, counter move. So I'm just saying, if y'all believe there's an evil force out there, y'all can collect all the gold and silver you want. They already know you're doing it. You're giving them a little stockpile to come get.
Yeah. Nothing new under the sun, I guess, huh? Nothing new. Come on.
Defense. It's just defense, Coach. Whenever you accumulate anything in these times,
your neighbor's
going to want it. Just keep that in mind. Be able to defend it.
Yep, storing food, the whole thing. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. Come on in, Jack.
That's exactly what they did to Bernard von Nothaus when he came out with the Liberty Dollar And they put him in jail for counterfeit, which was a totally made up, a trumped up charge, Mark.
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of false sense of security that makes us think, oh, we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to do that. I'm so smart. I have this and I have that. I got a gun. Oh, they're not going to come get me. I'll get my gun. We got to be careful. And I hear it. I see it. All these bold, bold men protesting all these great things. Y'all got to be careful, man. People are following you.
Amen. It is what it is. Some of us have a bigger cross on our hat than others, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. See, it's the same thing. It's like some people say, well, I got a generator. I'm not gonna lose power. Well, if you're the only guy that's got a generator, all the lights are on at your house, guess where everybody's coming? So you know, it's a real issue. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, the way we look at this is determined by how the color and the type of filter we have on and we use. Okay. If I look at this, everything that's coming, like, this is the end, it's over, no use worrying about it, then that's how I attack it. But coach, if I believe, and this is me, now this is my opinion. If I believe that the world systems have been found out, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all these power systems that have ruled the earth for these thousands of years, if I believe God is exposing them and bringing them down in this time, I'm going, hallelujah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going, hey, God, is your plan to put another 100, 200 years, 1,000 years on this earth and it continue? Or do I think it's the end and I'm going to just say, well, it doesn't matter? Coach, we have to lay up for the future. We have to do what's right and not think about, because this might look like it's the end, we just throw up our hands and just.
That's right, man.
I'm not conceding ever.
Me either. Me either. I'm in it till the end. I never give up till the clock runs out, and it hasn't run out as far as I can tell. Gary Dunlap, come on in.
I just want to make a quick comment on the reading from Jeremiah. You know, it's awfully hard to accept God's judgment when it comes to other men, such as the current regime or China. This is for me personally. It'd be easier to accept God's judgment on this nation if it was through natural calamity than it is through the actions of other men. Just saying.
Amen. I'm with you.
Hey,
Michelle.
Hey, Coach.
Okay. Go ahead. Raise your hands, children. It works better, and I can get a better rhythm to this, okay? Let's go to Rochelle, who has her hand up, and then Jack, and then Craig. Now, Larry,
I've had my hand up time after time, five people now, but I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt.
Larry, I don't know if you know this or not. Sometimes people don't take their hand down, and you spoke, and your hand stayed up.
No, I took it down, sir.
Okay.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. I'll get my turn in a minute.
Yeah, Larry, stop acting like that. You're a grown man. Stop acting like that. Come on in, Rochelle.
Thanks, Coach. I'm going to be quick, Larry. I just wanted to say it is frustrating for people who are trying to talk to their loved ones and even anybody who will listen, because at this time, and I don't know if it's like this for a reason or not, but it's like the ground has been poisoned. And I want to say with Bible fake news, in a
that's
sense.
Right. Boy, that's right.
So
we don't even know what the gospel is, do we, Rochelle? We really, when you got down, you tried to share the gospel with somebody. Some people have a really hard time explaining it, sadly.
They've already taken a stance that if it's in the Bible, it must not be true. And so you do what you can. You drop the seeds, and the Spirit will lead them. So if we continue to speak up, do the right thing, lead by example, believe, and if it's easy, if you truly believe, you do things that show you believe.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's the best way to lead.
You know them by your fruit. That's what it says, right?
And young kids, it's the young kids. They start so young. I have, like you, I was a mom coach, I was like the team mom of the baseball team, and man, those kids will eat it up. We used to pray before every game, and you could tell it would make such a difference. And We don't get to our youth anymore.
Nope, we don't. We've given them over. We sure have. Larry, come on. Then Jack. Jeff, your hand's still up in the air. I don't know if you forgot to take it down. Jeff, if you meant to keep your hand up, he took it down. All right, go ahead. Larry, then Jack, then Jim.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, people preaching the gospel and just, you know, go get them saved and stuff, that is the same boat that people thinking they're Christians, calling themselves Christians, and we go along with it, and we refer to them as churches and Christians. And the same is about the gospel. If the gospel isn't the truth from God's word, it's not the gospel.
In all aspects, too. In all aspects of life. Come on, Jack, then Jim.
Okay, to address Mark's comments and issues, he's absolutely correct. You're going to get more persecution if you're known to have prepared and known for this. But isn't that what we're doing? Who lights a generator and hides it under a bushel?
There you go, brother.
Amen.
You're going to have an opportunity to talk to people, feed people. You got to be prepared because it's going to get ugly. Because there's going to be somebody that's going to want to take your generator.
The learning points, you got to defend it. All right. If you can't defend it, it's no use accumulating.
Well, that's it. Well said, Mike. Well said. Come on in, Jim, and then Dale.
Yeah, to add on to what Rochelle said, Ray Comfort teaches that you can't physically slap a person when you're preaching the gospel to them. But what you can do is you can slap them with words. Yeah. And when we preach the gospel, we have to give them the hard truth.
We do, brother. That's what Jeremiah did, right? The weeping prophet didn't get any converts, but he sure got himself a book in the Bible. So something he was saying must have been pretty effective. Dale, then Craig. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, there's no absolute fail poos on anything, but Coach, and I will say this because I know you, I've been to your house, and I think many can recognize, gospel begins at home. and gospel, when I'm talking about with people, sometimes you open up the Bible, but it's a living, breathing act of it, is a demonstration of. And so when I looked and I was up at your house doing your flooring, your whole family came over. When we're talking about generators and things like that, it's like we say all politics are local. I'm telling you, the gospel and the church is local. How much effort are you putting in to minister to your family first? And then to your neighbors, they're the first. Do you love your neighbor more than yourself? And so when you do that, when you have that, I'm telling you, brother, I had 10 people in my house on Sunday night fellowshipping. And that's just with my family, brother. That's the security that we have, that if things go haywire, this is the safe zone. This is the generator to protect. This is the melting pot. Bring your ideas, bring your talents, and bring your goods here. And if you don't have that, You could be the best evangelistic preacher out there, but if you don't have that, you're right. Your generator, you're doomed.
Amen. Well said, brother. Well said. Craig, come on in. Then Bob Roy. I saw Bob with it. Did you want to come in, Bob? Go ahead, Craig.
Well, Coach, just in my walk with the Lord, I came across this profound thought that's helped shape me. We try to define God. We as a people try to define God. And what we need to do is let God define himself. And if we're blessed in life, our lives will be defined by God. We try to make God too much love, too much hate, too much mercy, too much judgment. Okay. The two greatest manifestations of God that we have currently today is the fact that Jesus Christ, who was the resemblance of God in human flesh, and two, we have his written word, the Bible. And when we have that, what we have is we have God's nature and we have his attributes. We have his nature when it says he can't lie. That's immutable. In other words, he can't do that. We know that he's righteous and that he's justice. Okay. But we also know that he's long suffering. And this is why when you were talking about the Mayflower Compact and it got me down this road and I started studying it, and then I started looking at it, and I'm like, my gosh, we're coming up on the 400th year anniversary. And then I started going, I read, and I was like, when God talked to Abraham, he says, your people are going to go down into a land that's not their own for 400 years because the iniquity of the Amorites is going to take 400 years before I've had it.
Mm.
Okay. And then I started thinking about, well America's on 400 years. Could that possibly be similar? And then I started looking at all these 400-year cycles in the Bible when they started to have kings. That lasted for about 400 years until they went into Babylon, when the last of the Old Testament prophets, the last 10 or 12, there was the 400 years of silence. Okay. And now that this is over and over and over again. And this is where we are in our country. And yes, we stand at a precipice now of great judgment, unless all the people repent, not 10%. You know, it has to be the government, it has to be the churches, and it has to be the people all in unison. And that was the story of Nineveh and Jonah. They all came to agree. They all agreed on the same thing. And we have no unity in our country right now in reference to this.
Well, there's no unity in the gospel, Craig, unfortunately. That's part of the problem. Remember Psalm, I think it's 133, it says, where there's unity, God will command the blessing. And there's nothing harder to do than to get unified brothers and sisters in the Lord. And
because it goes back to the same thing. We all want to define God the way we see him. We need to let God define himself for who he is, accept it, and then preach it.
Hey, that makes too much sense, Craig. Come on in, Jack. Did you not, Jack? You just one of those guys just keeps your hand up in the air? You got to go pee? No, what, Jack?
No, it's Cindy.
Okay, Cindy.
The other half of Jack.
All right.
Good morning, Coach. I love you. You guys, your family, you just bless me. I wanted to say that the Lord has been saying something over to me over and over as persecution begins to rev up. And I don't think we ever have really tasted persecution in the sense of real persecution. But in Christ, we live and move and have our being. We hide ourselves in Christ. We're dead to ourselves. We hide ourselves in Christ. So no matter what happens, if we get put in prison, I mean, look at Corrie Ten Boom, my hero. No matter where we go on this earth, no matter what happens to us, if we hide ourselves in Christ, we abide in the vine, we stay, keep our eyes on him, the prize. He's our prize. You know, don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. But wherever we go, wherever God puts us, just let him shine through you. Whatever happens, we belong to him. If we're abiding in the vine and clinging to him, it's okay. It's going to be all right. And our peace, our joy. Yes. Yes. I just wanted to put. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to say is, we are in a little church that loves the broken ones, the drug addicts, the, I don't know, you name it, we love it. And a couple of years ago, Jack couldn't get home. I was here 6 months by myself, and I lost my generator. And they went out and bought me a generator with an insurance on it, whatever, because it did fail eventually. And I got another one. These people take care of their own. I do want to say that. We are in a church that loves the broken ones.
Amen. Amen. Come on in, Rochelle. Well said there, Cindy.
I just wanted to say that right, one of the things that the Bible has got that no other book has is prophecy. And there's a lot of stuff written about the time that we're living in right now. We're watching prophecy happen right now. And that was one thing that really drew me to that book, is that there's a God out there that is telling me the future, and nobody else can do that. And that is one way, when people have no truth, we can show them the Bible as truth. And this could be the later rain coming our way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Something's coming our way. I wish I knew exactly what it was and what period. Anyway. I'll shut up before I get in trouble. Mark, come on in.
Real quick, Coach, just to counteract my caution, the answer to it Dale brought up and Cindy brought up. So you have a generator, you have a gun, but do you have a community? Think about all of the persecution in the Bible. There were communities. We have a non-local community that I believe I can rely on. If I called Coach or Bobby or Clay or Joseph, I feel the same way, Cindy, but we need a local community like you have. And do you have one? If not, Dale and these people, I mean, I know JR is struggling. I'm struggling to get people together. It's hard, but that community offsets the black cars coming. If they know you mess with him, you mess with all of them. If they know that, they have to take extra measures. Yeah. So that's your counteraction. Be a part of a Christian community locally.
Well said, boy. It's tough. It's tough. But people are more awake now than they've ever been. Greater opportunities. Vinny, then Chad, then Joseph. Go, Vinny.
Very quickly, fellowship. This is what we come for, fellowship. I came in late, unfortunately, in the show, but I see what I caught up very quickly. It's all fellowship. This is all we're doing. We're all being brothers and sisters to each other.
Amen. Amen, Vinny.
Amen.
That's right. The bad thing about it, the good thing is we get together every morning, but there's so much distance between us. That's why, you know, I keep saying so much about the huddles. The huddle is a way for you to get find people like-minded to do exactly what Mark said. Can't do it alone. I just got to tell you, in my own mind's eye, I see hundreds of people at Sky High. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I see hundreds of people fleeing to Sky High because we're going to have to, in some way, be able to live and work in community. We're not going to be able to do it alone. Come on in, Joseph. Nope. Chad?
Yep. Go. Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to say is that whatever you, if you don't want to get precious metals, don't get them. If you don't want to buy any food, don't buy any. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Okay. Don't do it. But some of us, I'm just saying, whatever it is, you need to follow what the Lord's telling you to do.
Amen on
if
that
he's
one.
If he's telling
brother.
You to go do this, then do it. I've been given instructions, and that's I'm trying to be obedient. You understand? So that's yes. what that's the bottom line here is. So I look. I know that not everybody believes in it. They say they always use that verse. I'll throw the gold and silver be thrown in the streets. When and why? For to gain their own salvation. That's these kind of things. And that's on down the road. I don't think the Lord created all this stuff for it to be just thrown in the street as a
not right whatever. Now, Chad. I couldn't agree with you more, Chad. If this right here protects little David and Reese and Macy and Annie, if that protects them, I'm going to get some.
Yes, for a time, Dave. We need to realize that we're already targeted. If you don't have a generator, if you don't have any silver, if you don't have any food, you don't have anything, it doesn't matter. You're still on the top of the list. You're an evangelical Christian, white Anglo-Saxon, whatever all those things are. You know, the FBI has these lists of whatever all everybody's on there. And so, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we should be grateful to be persecuted. Amen. We should feel glory that we are worthy of persecution, period.
Chad, if we could be on the other side and understand how much the Lord honors Amen. Our persecution, see, it's hard for us to see. Man, this is a chat room today if there's ever been one. Let's go to Randy, then Jeff Klein, and Joe Allen still up there. Your hand's still up, Jeff.
My buttons are not working right.
Okay, brother. Hey, Randy, hold off. Let me get Joe because he's in line first. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, the good place, if you are in church, and some of us are, some of us not, it's a good way to start using people, finding people inside your church that's yes. like-minded like you.
Yeah.
Easiest way to find people that will help you, like Mark is trying to do up there in Virginia. That's the easiest way to do it.
Amen. Yeah, we got to find him, Joseph, for sure. Go ahead, Randy, then Jeff.
Yeah, Coach, a lot of people don't believe what Kim Clement prophesied years ago, and it's a long time ago. A lot of it was in 07. But yet they want to say, oh, yeah, he said Trump would be two terms. So they'll jump on that. But a lot of his prophecy said that the God was going to take the wealth of the wicked and transfer it to the righteous. Well, you know, I'm a prophetic person. I don't believe all prophecy that's given by certain, quote, prophets. I judge it all. I lay a lot of it on the shelf and I wait. But Coach, if this is true, and I believe it is, then for this time, I'm not saying this is the end, but I got to mix faith with that, Coach, and that's what I'm doing. I'm mixing faith with what I've heard, and then I'm trying to participate with what God is doing instead of what I think might be happening or what I want to do. It's not about what we think. It's about what God's doing. We have to find that with that and get in with it, Coach. And if that's the, if this is the time, then people listen and hear and see that God is taking the wealth of the wicked to give it to us to do what? To bring the gospel forward. That's what it's for. It's not about riches. It's about the kingdom.
Randy, what about this? What if every one of you sitting here right now, what if one of your offspring, one of your grandchildren, what if he's positioned to be, for lack of a better term, a deliverer? What if somebody who is being raised up or trained up in your realm of influence 30 years from now is going to be the guy who steps forward to do it? So in this doom and gloom and time in which we're living in, we cannot lose sight of the future. Now, you can, if you sit around and you believe the end of the world's coming in the next 5 days and you're studying all the prophecies and all the road signs and all that kind of stuff, you are not preparing the next generation with a mantle to be able to walk forward and do what they need to do. And most of us are spending so much time, we're watching the news and thinking about the news. Our little rugrats are running all around behind us, and we're doing nothing to prepare them for the times in which they're going to be living 20, 25 years from now. So I think that in a lot of ways, we're really, really narrow-minded, have short-sightedness in everything that's going on. We have to have a long-term generational vision for our lives, even though we may not be here. We have to do that anyway. And I think really a lot of us, hey, let's be honest. Look at your own family. How many of your own children are really, really serving the Lord the way that they should be? And could it be because of somewhere along the line, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I dropped the ball and I didn't handle this situation right, or I was too busy doing this and too busy doing that. And now all of a sudden my son's 38 years old and God, he's not where I thought he would be. And well, that's one of those laws that Pastor Fred's going to talk to us about. Hopefully I can get him on tomorrow. So, but a lot of blowback and all this stuff. Jeff, come on in. Then Mark Trump and Joe Allen again. No, Jeff, who's up? Somebody, come on in, Jeff.
Coach, just so everybody knows, anybody that's around locally here in Knox County or wherever, Richland County, Licking County, tonight is Church in the Garage, 6 o'clock. I just sent out 20 text messages just now while you're talking. And just to let the people know, we're just congregating. We got some coffee. We got some water. There's no stained glass. There's no padded pews. But it's just a gathering in the garage. And the numbers are growing. And people are enjoying coming. So we're just going to keep putting it out there. And I know the one lady's coming down tonight from up north. I forget her name, but Michelle knows her. But there's different people coming. Roger's even coming tonight.
Jeff, I want to say that I salute you, Jeff, and you're always – you're always doing your best to try to evangelize. And I always salute your efforts at evangelism. But I want you all to think about this. Somebody said to me the other day, I can't remember who it was, asked about my show. And we love numbers, don't we? So like a pastor, love numbers. I turn on some of these guys, and they got 150,000 views. And I look at that and I said, that can't be right. Come on, tell me. By the way, some of them have more views than CNN, right? Really, some of them do. And then somebody said, well, you only got 1,000 views. You only got 1,000 hits on YouTube. And I thought, yeah, you know, there's probably some truth to that. But I'd stack us up as far as depth of anybody that's out there. See, we're not trying to build a big church. We're not trying to get everybody in here. We want to go deep. We want you to go deep. We want your Christian walk and your Christian life to be deep. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of people ain't ready to go there. They don't want to do what has to be done to go deep.
Amen. So
don't worry about numbers. Dig, baby, dig. Let's get Dale in here, and then Trump.
Brother, that's awesome. This is the new SEAL Team 6. When you said the numbers, I hate going to pastors' conferences because I already know the question.
Yep.
I'll go back to that same magical thing, brother. The church that I pastor, 40 to 50 people, I literally have seen 80% of them either born or start off as teenagers in my church. Brother, my congregation, I've told them, I said, I promise you, we're going to take care of each other. That has become that. But what I just heard you say, how many SEAL teams does it take to overtake a nation? Numbers don't mean diddly squat.
It doesn't.
Brother. as a true man, I look at you and I look at the Mark and I look at Joe and I look at Chad and I, brother, this is exactly that. This is that SEAL Team 6. And I'll go back and say this. Remember I said all churches local, your neighbors. You remember when you guys came down in Louisiana? My yep. neighbor had just moved to Portland. And what did he do? He trusted me so much. He said, Dale, here's the keys to my house. Did you guys have to sleep on the grounds or in a tent? No, brother. I'm telling you, man. This is it. SEAL Team, new SEAL Team 6.
Amen. Amen. Mark Trump, Craig Mickle, and Joe Allen, did you leave your hand up?
All right, little bit about the battle. So now you've got the idea you need to be in a community, and Cindy's got the idea that people are going to take care of her when Jack's gone. We all need that for our families because we need to go. So think about the disciples. They had to make sure their wives were taken care of so they could go and do the Great Commission. Paul, he had to make sure things were in order so he could go. So what happens when somebody's down on the battlefield, Coach?
Call the medics.
Somebody, we don't have medics. We have us.
That's right. That
means
what I mean.
That means we can't go do our job because we're helping these others. Now that happens in the family. If your family's not square, you can't go take care of Christ's work. If you got a buddy who's not squared away, that's where we need to be encouraging our brothers in Christ to get squared away so that if we go down into a battle, they aren't busy taking care of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have to help one another with our weapons. We have to help one another with our spiritual armor. And then we need to have people ready to take care of casualties, to take care of people that need a generator. You know, this is what's going to slow us down whenever we're in the middle of a battle and this thing happens. All right. So keep Amen. That in mind. Now we know that God's taking care of all this, but it's up to our reaction. We got to give it to God in our heart and go take care of that problem too.
Amen.
So
you brother's keeper.
Yep. That's a part of it, right?
Yep. It is. It is. Craig, then Jeff again. Craig, come on in, Craig. I hate you guys and all your wisdom. I hate it. Hey, listen, hey, Coach. I'm supposed to be star of the show here. You guys quit being so wise. Go ahead.
It's not about numbers, Coach. It's about legacy.
Yes, sir.
When you look at what Paul was saying to the Corinthians, he says, "You are my legacy." Mm. The only thing that we ever take to heaven is the people that God has blessed us to influence.
Amen.
That God's got, you know, I don't save nobody. God saves them. God breaks their heart down. God does. But if God takes a broken, bald-headed, overweight, 60-year-old vessel to do it, and that he would honor me, that he would pick me to Amen. Do it, Amen. God bless. I'm humbled. And I just hope that I answer the call. Amen. And I appreciate that you answer the call. And you walk. Coach, if you tried to evangelize, to be honest with you, I think you'd suck. Okay? That's not your gift. You're walking out of your gift, and you're not going to succeed unless God calls you and changes you in that area.
Well, he can help me at that time as I'm evangelizing. I can evangelize, Craig, believe it or not. But you're right, man. It's not it's not my thing. I'm not out. I get you, man. Amen. Gina, let's get a new voice in here. Come on in, Gina.
It's Jerry.
Jerry, I'm straight. I'll remember that at some point there, Jerry.
Yeah, well, I need to change that probably. Hey, Coach, 5 years ago, I've lived in Memphis my whole life, and 5 years ago, God told me to move. And so I moved to Missouri, to Blue Eye, to a Christian community. And it was the best move I ever made. I've got more friends now. And we have that type of community with, if something happens, we can all come together and help each other. So I would suggest that to people if they're able to do that, because I was sitting at the computer one day and something just popped up and said it was time to move from the big cities into the rural areas and then the woods, secluded areas. So a lot of
space out here, Jerry. A lot of space out this way, brother.
Yes, sir.
Get out of those cities for sure. Trying to get everybody in here. Rochelle, come on in, dear.
I just wanted to hit on something that Craig said, I think. When it comes to
evangelizing people or talking with people and seeing where they're at and being discouraged if when they're not listening and feeling like Jeremiah. This brought some numbers to my head. I don't have the text open up in front of me, but I know 500 people saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. And he said, all right, you guys wait, I'll be back. And when he came back, there was only 120. So even Jesus, who rose from the dead, couldn't get all 500. That's not even 1/4.
That's true.
So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Amen. 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 Let me, this has been good today. You wouldn't believe all the great content I had for this show, right? Now, if I was a pastor, I would be mad that I didn't get to give you my sermon. I worked all morning getting my sermon ready here, and I don't get a chance to deliver it. But what really, wouldn't church be better if this was church? If you went in church and you're able to stand up and say what was on your heart and find out that there's somebody sitting across a few pews over that's dealing with the exact same thing, and you have the experience to help them walk through it. And that's what that, see that just, they try to go to these life groups to make it happen. It's just, yeah, I want, this has been all over me. So if I just want to finish with this today, because the Holy Spirit has shown me that this is our greatest problem in America. When we were pull up, a redress, if you will, third thing down, Spencer. When we had our little thing here Friday night, the get together with John Diamond and Fred Mosley, when we went to the, some of you know, we were filming most of it. Bobby Lee, by the way, has posted all those great videos, so thank you for that, Bobby. But we only went for an hour, and then afterwards, we kind of went to question and answer, and that wasn't recorded. And I was amazed when we went to the question and answer. Are you ready? How angry people are. People are really, really angry. You know, the Bible says when lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. People are angry. And they're angry over this one thing right here, First Amendment of the Constitution. And we spoke about it before a couple of weeks ago, but the Lord won't let me get away from it. Because you will see this in every aspect and every area of our lives. And little kids, what do little kids say all the time? When I got 6 grandkids, and they're all around, and if one gets a bigger sucker than the other sucker, the other one gets, you know how that goes, right? That's chocolate. I want a chocolate, Grampy. No, I don't want, I want the red one. I wanted the blue one. And then what do they say? Y'all know what they say, right? That's not fair. And that's what the First Amendment of the Constitution says. It guarantees the right of the people to peaceably assemble, to petition their government for a redress of their grievances. People are upset because they don't have anybody to turn to. They see all the injustices going on. You name it. I don't care what it is. And there's nowhere to go, nobody to turn to, no one that you can speak to that will make it right. That's what's, people don't, it's not that people want to be treated differently. They just want it to be fair. That's not fair, right? Redress of our grievances. And until we figure out how we are going to best deal with that, I don't know if any of this frustration we're dealing with is going to go. I don't know. I just don't know. Come on, Mark, or whoever's trying to get in. Come on in.
Yeah, what happens whenever nothing happens for a period of time in that state? People are wanting something to happen and it don't. Then they want it to happen more and it don't. So what happens is they reduce the amount they care about yes, being sir. Unfair.
That's
so
right.
Now they're not going to say anything about it. It becomes the norm. And now when people complain about it, they'll forget that they complain.
Mm.
And they'll take all their frustration out on the people complaining still.
Yeah.
When they were complaining. But now they want to get along. They want to be a part of the world.
Linda Studer just said, Linda Studer just put in a text that fair is the flip side of just. That's good, isn't it?
Interesting.
Fair is the flip side of just. See, you can be fair and not be just. And you can be just and it doesn't appear to be fair. It's not about fairness, folks. It's about just judgment. And we've so lost that in the church. Because we've lost it in the church, we've lost it in society. We've lost it in the culture. Kevin, real quickly, let's get you in here.
I'm just going to go back to what they were talking. You were talking about earlier. about the numbers. It's quality over quantity. I'm going to say that we need to remember Matt Truella, defiance.com, defiance.com. We all need to be defying any tyrant we come across all the time. Stand firm, stand strong.
Amen, brother. Kevin.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to get Pastor Matt Truella on here. By the way, I'm going to be in, where am I going to be? I'm going to be in Dallas tomorrow, and I hope that I can get Fred Mosley and talk about the laws of life. I've been reading some of that the last days, and wow, it all interconnects. We understand the whole redress of grievances. That's not fair. That's the frustration that's leading to where we are today, right? We see our guys go in the Capitol building. They want to arrest them. We see Antifa burn down buildings. They don't do anything to them. What do we scream? That's not fair. Yeah, it's not fair. God bless you. See you tomorrow.